You know, I was listening to a pastor, and she was saying about a congregational member of hers that was ill, and she died, and she went on to be with the Lord. And when she reached heaven, the Lord said, you know, it's not your time yet. I want you to go back to the earth, to return, because I still have a work for you to do. And for that short time that she was in heaven in glory, she said it was so magnificent. And so she goes like this. The Lord says, and he calls her by her name, and he says, I want you to return because there's some work, and you have a message to take back to the church. And she goes like this. She goes to the Lord and says, Lord, what must I do to stay? What must I do to stay? I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back down to earth, you know. But the Lord said, your time is not yet. You know, there's a work cut out for you to do. So reluctantly, she left glory and returned to the earth. And of course, now she's with the Lord eternally. But my point is, one glimpse, one taste of his glory, just being in the presence of God, you don't want to be anywhere else. There's nothing like it. And just the thought of returning to earth and the daily grind and all that, you know, it's unthinkable. But yet, we get to bask and experience his glory right here on earth. But just as the praise and worship team ministered, how we will spend that eternity with him. And oh, how glorious it will be, you know, peace. You know, we don't know here on earth the peace like that that we're going to experience all the time. It just supersedes our human understanding right now. But there's nothing like his glory. Aren't you glad? Well, you may be seated in his presence. Thank you. And thank you so much, praise and worship team, for your ministry to the Lord. You all done a marvelous job ministering to the Lord. Holy Spirit, you're the unseen guest, and I welcome you. And Holy Spirit, this is your church. Faith Family Maui are your people. And there's a plan that's intact for today's service, the plan of God. And we will not deviate from that plan. But Father, I pray and ask in Jesus' name, by the help of the Holy Ghost, that the people here today have anointed ears to hear what's to be said, what you want to land in their spirits that will further us along in what you've spoken to us already, Father, in the latter part of this year. Holy Ghost, I thank you. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for your presence now. And I also thank you for my help. You are my help. And what a help you are, my standby. Oh, I acknowledge you. I love you. I yield to you this day. And I thank you for this people who will receive, they'll hear the word, they'll receive it gladly, and it'll go down into their hearts and to their spirits. And not only will they receive it, but they will also step out and be doers of it. And so you're taking us from glory to glory to glory. And I thank you for this. And everyone says amen, amen, amen. Well, if you remember, About a month ago, we said that this church has turned a corner. We've turned a corner. And how most times in January 1st, the first service of the year, you know, you get a fresh word from God with directives. But we already had our word from the Lord. We already got our directions because in October, God said, we turned a corner. So October basically was our January, if so to speak. And we've already entered this, I don't want to say season, but the new year. And you may say, what are you talking about? Well, the word that the Holy Spirit gave Pastor Herman, and there's still copies on the back table, he went through it lengthy last week, and And it begins with, there is a supply of the Spirit. It's a greater flow, a mighty flow, a strong flow, and et cetera. Don't take this lightly, just like, oh, that's really nice. Praise God. This is our directive. This is the way we're going to move for next year. These are our headquarters. Yeah. Pastor Herman says read the whole thing, so we will. All right. There is a supply of the Spirit, a greater flow. Now, this, mind you, is directly from the Holy Spirit, from headquarters. It's a mighty flow, a strong flow that has been made available. Four things. So step into it, tap into it, thirst for it, hunger for it, believe for it, position yourselves for it, and faith will position you to receive it and to tap into this greater flow of the miraculous. This is what we're going to be talking about this morning. Faith will position us to receive what? All that the Holy Spirit mentioned right here. There's a flow of the miraculous. It's time for miracles. There's a flow of the miraculous, which is a strong flow. Thank God it's not a trickle. Thank God he didn't say there's going to be a sprinkling over Faith Family Maui. Thank God he said it's a strong flow, a greater flow, a mighty flow, causing an overflow of the supernatural abundance of the provisions of God in fulfilling the vision with the supply and the resources to bring the vision into fruition and into reality. Transition has taken place and things have been set in order. God does things in decency and in order. And when they're in order, God can move. Therefore, a spiritual shift of acceleration has begun. Thank God for acceleration. Things being speeded up in the Spirit. No time to waste. We're moving. Everybody on board. Everybody get on board with this. Accelerations. You ever try getting on a freeway? You have to slowly accelerate when you're yielding to get on a major highway. And God's saying, he's speeded up the acceleration. And he's going to keep on accelerating. So that means we have to keep pace. We have to keep up with God. We can't be lackadaisical. We can't be casual with where God's taking us. Not losing interest, staying red hot, staying full, drinking continually of the Spirit. And so he says again, a spiritual shift of acceleration has begun. Things that have taken a while will suddenly manifest supernaturally. Expect the suddenlies of God, just as the disciples who waited in the upper room, praying in one place and in one accord for the promise of the Father. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a mighty rushing wind. That's the Holy Ghost. And it filled the whole place. Suddenly the provision of God will manifest supernaturally. From this flow of the miraculous, the drought is over, the spirit of debt is broken, and the overflow of abundance has been released. Released, yeah. If that doesn't get you excited, you need a jump start. You know, we might have to jump start you this morning. But just to know, a supernatural flow of abundance. So we're going to be talking about this morning, the code of faith is the code for miracles. The code of faith, there's a code for faith. It's our faith where we make heavenly transactions with God. It's our faith, right? Because each one of us have been given a measure of faith. Each one of us has. But do you know that your faith can be dormant? And dormant, inactive faith is really basically useless. It's dead faith. And you can't really receive anything from God apart from faith. I was talking to a woman yesterday, and I was saying, you know, we all have needs. And some people say, well, God knows my needs. He knows I'm hurting. He knows I need this. He knows this has to be paid. Why doesn't he just do it? Why doesn't he just meet our needs? God doesn't meet our needs, because if that was the case, everybody on the face of this earth, all the believers, would have all our needs met. But God meets our needs through our faith, because we know this. This is just elementary. It's impossible to please him without our faith. It's our faith. And so it's through our needs that are met, but it's by our faith. And that's how we do these transactions with God through heaven. This is how we're going to attain miracles, the miraculous, by our faith. When was the last time each of you used your faith for a miracle? You know, maybe some of you said this morning, you know, yesterday. That's great. Not just having faith projects, but again, reading this word that the Holy Spirit gave us, there's going to be an acceleration, a speeding up in things. And so we're not going to be sleeping, for instance, on the job and sleeping and being casual with these things. But we got to be on board. And our faith has to be active, has to be alive, has to be moving. And you may say, well, how, you know, just like anything, faith can be related to a spiritual muscle. Don't use it, becomes inactive, dormant. And without faith, you really can't receive anything from God, because he does, you know, you're crying, you're moaning and groaning, complaining, and how long, Lord? That doesn't move the hand of God. He's compassionate and sympathetic towards our needs, but it's the faith. And the Bible's filled with examples, you know. Pastor Herman spoke last Sunday about the woman of the issue of blood. Can you imagine thousands of people pressing up against Jesus and touching him? Throngs crowding around Jesus, you know, just Master, Jesus. And yet out of all those people, there was one woman who released something. What did she release? She released faith. And that's what Jesus responded to. Were there needs? Sure there were. There probably were paralytics, invalids, deaf and dumb, all kind of people, people that were possessed, demon-possessed. All of them were pressing on, you know, if I can just touch Jesus, I'll be healed. I'll get what I need. But the woman released her faith, and she got her reward. She got her miracle. She got healed. Her blood dried up. The issue went away. The other people maybe weren't exercising their faith, so they got nothing. But and this is like blind Bartimaeus and all the other ones that received their miracles, all because of their faith, their great faith. Our scripture this morning is going to be in 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. And I'm reading out of the Amplified. 1 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter, verse 10. We continue, this is Paul talking here, because he's, in this passage, he was writing a letter to one of the churches. And so he was writing, telling them, we continue to pray, especially with most intense earnestness, night and day, that we may see you face to face and mend and make good whatever may be imperfect and lacking in your faith. He says to them with intense earnestness, day and night, that we may see you face to face. Do you know that you have to be present in church? You need to be present here so we can see you face to face, see the whites of your eyes, to see everyone. It's important to be face to face. There's a reason why you should come to church, not just for the neglecting the assembling together, but it's coming to church where you receive what God has for you. And sometimes it's only through coming to church and being present where you're going to partake of the anointing and of what God has for you. If you stay at home, you may say, well, I didn't feel good. I was under the weather. You know, this situation arose, or I had to tend to that. And so you say, but why watch a Kenneth Copeland Bible study? All that's all good. That's all fine. You can receive. I listened to a tape, you know, on my iPhone. Or we had Bible study a couple nights ago, and, you know, and I heard the word. Those are all good and fine, but those are all supplemental, because nothing can take place to coming inside your local church where God has planted you, where the anointing is, where you can receive what you need. And it's only here where Paul was saying to the church, I'm writing you this letter, but I'm praying that I may see you face to face. I need to see you guys. There's something that can only be imparted to you when I see you face to face. When I went over to California for those meetings, I had to go and be there physically present, to be face to face. There was something there that was waiting for me that only I could receive it. Couldn't have came through the video, couldn't have came through books, although those are all great, couldn't have came through some writings or teachings. But there's something about being present and being face to face. God's put a fivefold ministry. God's got apostles and evangelists, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And these offices are all equipped, and they're all anointed, and the anointing is for you. But if you don't come, if you don't show up to church, then your faith is going to be missing. Your faith is going to suffer because of it. I can't tell you how many times during a church service, even such as like a time today, where God will, he'll give us a message, he'll give us a word, he'll give us a directive on which way to go. And somebody will be here, somebody will be present. And by the Holy Ghost now, the Holy Ghost will diagnose people, you know? Not that you're assuming or presuming in the flesh or in the natural, but the Holy Ghost knows what you're going through, knows what you need. You may come in with a smile on your face, and your heart can be just broken in a million pieces. And the Holy Ghost will know. And when you come to church, how many times the Holy Ghost, we've seen this in the past, where he will stop the service or interrupt the service just for you, just to minister to this person, to that person, and minister of the need. Because if you come in with heaviness, if you come in with a burden, if you come in just being assaulted in your mind, you're not going to receive throughout the whole service. You know, you're not. Your receiver is going to be shut down because the enemy is working on you. Your thoughts and your mind is somewhere else. You're present, but you're missing in action, though, because your mind is somewhere else. And the Holy Ghost knows this. But just by you being present and coming to church, the Holy Ghost will stop things just for you, just to minister to you. He'll do that. We've seen that time and time and time again. Yeah. And so everybody can be on board. Everybody can receive. But if you stay home and if you don't come to church, then you can't get helped. You can't get help. You may say, well, I really didn't want anybody to really know I'm dealing with something. I'm going through something pretty heavy duty. But this is the best place for your help. This is the best place. It won't be broadcasted. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He does things discreetly, but yet he wants you free, though. And this is the place where you get your help. Staying at home is just where the enemy wants you. And how many times we hear of things, you know, we'll talk or see somebody and we'll say, where were you, you know? And they'll say, oh, I had this and that go on, or, you know, my back went out of place, or this or that. Best place is come to church for your help. Come here where you can get your healing. You can get your answers. Because staying at home, really, God the Holy Ghost cannot help absent sheep. He can't help you. You're absent, you know. Where they been? Where they at? You know, then you find out they're in the hospital or something. Why didn't somebody tell us, you know? Could pray for you, you know? Or if at all possible, get yourself down here to church where, you know, the corporate anointing, or we can lay hands on you and you can receive your help. Help is here. So Paul was telling the church, he was saying, I earnestly long to see you face to face, to look into your faces, not to guess, not to assume, oh, they look troubled, you know, oh, they look like they're going through. Holy Ghost doesn't operate like that, no. But yet he'll let your pastors know, and then you can receive your help. Or sometimes the Holy Spirit will change a message. You come prepared, and he'll say, no, I don't want you sharing that. Get off your message. I want you to talk about this. So that person can receive their help, can receive what they came for. And in that changing of the message, everybody gets blessed too, you know. I remember one time I was speaking of something, and I don't know what it was about, and then somebody came to me afterwards and said, boy, thank you. The Lord really helped me in my marriage. And I thought, I didn't minister anything on marriage. You know, I don't remember anything on, you know, marriage counseling or even talking about man and wife or the marriage relationship. But the Holy Ghost will just take a word, and he's the divine genius. Yeah, he can take the word and just reach you, you know, with that word and minister to you. But if you stay at home, and if you don't come for your answer, for your help, if you're absent, you know, MIA, you know, then there's not too much, you know, that the Lord can do with you. You're basically kind of on your own, because the corporate anointing, you know, and the anointing through the preaching of the word. And God will give us things as pastors to help you. Yeah, always to help you. So you need to be present in church to receive what God has for you. Definitely, yeah. Listening to the word that's prepared for you. And we know that I forget, one person had told me they more or less, you know, they're a Christian, they're born again, but they have a self-taught Bible study, you know, that they listen to, and they pretty much teach themselves. That's kind of risky right there, you know, to be self-taught, because everybody needs a pastor. Everybody needs to have a shepherd, you know. You do. Everybody does, because, you know, the enemy kind of separates you, and when you don't have a teacher and you feel, well, I don't need anybody but Jesus. Well, yeah, we need Jesus, but then why did he give the fivefold ministry? Why did he give us shepherds? Why did he give pastors? They have a specific, a specific role in feeding you, teaching you, and helping you. And if you, you know, and if you say, well, you know, I'm just casual, or I don't need to go all the time, then your faith is going to suffer for that, because emergencies and things are going to hit and come to all of us. And it's not so much what you do here in church. It's important that you hear and receive, but it's the other 6 days out there, what you do with what you've received from church. Because when you're out there on your own, and you get slammed with something, or you get a phone call, or you get assaulted in your mind, or, you know, the enemy comes against you, then what are you going to do? You need to be full. You can't be on empty, especially with where God's taking us and the word that he's given us. You know, in Ephesians 6, I think it's 14, 15 verse, one of those, says that we are to stand with the whole armor of God, so you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. The enemy will come against our faith. You know, that's his job. He'll try to come against your faith, weaken it. He don't mind you having faith, but as long as your faith isn't producing results, producing miracles, pulling out of the supernatural realm, what's there for us, into the this natural realm. But in Ephesians, it says that we are to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And the Greek word for wiles is craftiness, trickery, deceitfulness. But another definition of wiles, and this is interesting, says one road. And I thought, one road for wiles. So that means the enemy will come and travel and come against us with on one road only, one road. He comes with the same old ways, nothing new, nothing creative, the same road. What he hit you with last month, last year, if he's hit you before in your finances, you know that's where he's going to come against you again. The wiles means the same road. He doesn't dream up a new avenue. He doesn't come up with a new ingenious plan. He'll come against, if he's coming against your household, coming against your marriage, if he knows that there's a particular weakness in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your thought life, if there's something you struggle with, guess what? That's where he's going to continue staying on, that same road. He doesn't take an alternate road. It's the same road. And so we should know that by now. If the enemy's going to come against you, it's going to be the same way he's come against you last month, 5 years ago. He uses the same deceits, the same trickery, the same bag of tricks he's always used. That one road. And he stays on that road and uses it all the time. Because he studied us and he knows where we miss it and where we're weak in. So we should be ahead of the game already just by knowing that. Yeah, where the Greek says he uses trickery, craftiness, and devices on one road. And we already know the road already. If you know anything about spiritual warfare, you know how he's going to come against you, how he's come against you in the past. So we become prepared with our faith. Yes. Now, what I want to turn to, well, actually, talking about the code of faith, there's a law of faith, or the code of faith, you could say, and the law of faith, code of faith, works every time. You know there are natural laws. For instance, we all know the gravity, you know, aerodynamics. What's that saying? What goes up must come down. You know, just because you may not be feeling well, just because you have physical symptoms, you're not going to fall off the face of the earth. You know, gravity's intact. It works all the time. And on the same token, there are divine laws placed intact that cannot fail. They're not man-made, because man changes laws all the time. But the law of faith is one of these divine laws. There's the law, if you read Romans, the book of Romans, there's the law of the spirit of life. There's other divine laws, but we're talking about the law of faith, faith code. And these laws, this faith law, works all the time. It can't fail. It can't. You've heard people say, well, I've done all that, what I was supposed to do. I believed in all that, and my answer didn't come. Faith can't fail. We fail, though. Sometimes we don't work the right way. And the code of faith is going to be in Scripture, all of you know very well, is in Mark 11, 25. Can you turn there? What's this faith code that we're talking about? Mark 11, verse 24 and 25. I'll read verse 24 first. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. Can everybody say believe?
Believe.
That's our responsibility. That's our part. That's a pretty easy part. Believe. Guess what God's part is? is to bring the power to manifest it on our behalf. That's God's part. A lot of times we try to do God's part. We're not. God's just asked us to believe. So he goes on to say in verse 24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that it is granted to you and you will get it. Verse 25, truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. That's the code of faith. The code of faith is just simply, I first believe, and then I receive. The Greek word for receive means take it. Just simply means take it. Now, keep this in mind. You believe first in your heart, because remember, faith isn't in the head. It's not mental. Faith is always in your heart, in your spirit. That's where faith originates. Believe and receive. Receive means take it. So, okay, say, yeah, okay, I've done that. But where people slip up is they don't see it right away. They don't see it manifested. And then they think, oh, I guess God didn't, you know, maybe whatever, my faith didn't work, whatever reason. And then they let go of it and they release, let go of the faith pressure on the miracle or what they've been believing for. But it says that we are to believe it and receive it. Take it. Just take it. That's what you need to do. That's the faith code. That's the faith combination. We had a safe at home. And for those of you that have safes, or you may even work in a bank, or you may work on, somewhere where you have a safe. And, you know, every safe has a combination on it. And you may have bought the safe. You've purchased it. You're the owner. You own everything that you place in that safe, and it's yours. And you have to come up with a combination, right, to get in it. You can't just go up to the safe at home. I couldn't go up to our safe and say, well, I bought you, I own you, you know, and I put the combination in there. Now you open. No, doesn't matter. I have to still place the right combination in order to get into the safe. So the safe combination may be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. So one morning I want to go into the safe and I press 2, 4, 6, 8. It's not going to open. Why? Because I missed a number. I missed the code. I didn't put in the proper code in there. And so I can't get mad or upset with the safe and say, why won't you open? You know, and kick the thing and say, you know, I bought this thing. The safe doesn't work. It's malfunctioning. No, I'm malfunctioning because I didn't put in the right code. And so the same way is with our faith. Faith code is, you may say, just like the code you put into a safe. Faith, 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 worry. Not going to unlock your miracle. It's not going to give you access to what you're believing for. It's not going to cause that mountain to be cast into the sea. You may press in one day, faith, offense, faith, 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 faith. Not going to work. It's not going to turn the key. It's not going to work, that combination. It's not going to get it done. The next day, it'll be faith, 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 worry, faith. Still, it's not going to open. That handle is not going to open because you can relate the word of God and all the provisions and promises of God as a safe. And we need the right faith combination in order to access all of those things. And it's no fault on God's part. It's always on ours because we're failing to put the right faith combination to access all these things, to access our miracles. You know, in Mark, it says, the 25th or the 26th verse, it says, now, believe you receive it, believe, you know, and you speak to this mountain and you can have whatever you ask for in prayer according to the promises of God. Make sure what you're asking for lines up with the promises of God, not something that's bizarre or out there that's not, cannot be found in the Bible. But when you ask, believe. But there's conditions like everything else is. And it says, because if you stand praying and you have aught against anyone, right there, that's just like the wrong combination in the safe. Faith, faith, one day you're in faith, the next day you're in faith, the next week you're in faith, then you have aught against someone, unforgiveness, or you've got into, you know, offense, and you haven't let it go. Bible says, let it go, drop the charges. So the right combination is faith, 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 faith. Boom, safe opens right up. Right up. You get your miracle. You get your answer. You get whatever you were desiring for. You've seen that mountain just dissolve, be cast into the sea. Why? Because of the right faith combination. Yeah. And it's so easy to the point where even children, a child can apply it. Even children can. Bible says have childlike faith. Become like a child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. A child's faith, for those of you who have small ones at home, their faith is so pure, it's so innocent, it's so powerful. You know, you have a child, pray for you, or pray, bless the food. A child's faith is just pure because there's nothing to taint it, to contaminate it. There's no doubt or unbelief or anything from the outside world that's had a chance to get in and contaminate their spirits. So that's why, you know, Jesus says that we have to become like these little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, because their faith is strong. If not, have your some of your children or your grandchildren pray for you. Yeah. Say, lay hands on Nanny, lay hands on Papa, or lay hands on your mommy or daddy, and watch and see. Yeah, it's pure. They've got that access code, that faith code. They've got it down pat. Yeah. Because there's no room for doubt, unbelief, complaining, worry. They got the right access code that'll open up the safe every time. So that's the faith code. Just simply Mark 11, 24 and 25. Turn to Romans, the third chapter. Verse 27. Let's see. Romans, the third chapter, verse 27. Faith is a law which, when operating properly, works every time without failure. We can obtain any of the promises from God. Any of them, if we just learn to use the code of faith. Romans 3:27 says, then what becomes of our pride and our boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On the principle of doing good deeds? No, but on the principle of faith. Faith. Faith is of the heart. Not of the head, not of your feelings. If I go to my safe and I'm not feeling good, I'm experiencing flu symptoms, the enemy is attacking my mind with oppression and things. But if I have the right combination, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, doesn't matter how I feel, the code's gonna work, safe's gonna open up. Same thing with your faith. Doesn't matter what's coming against you. Doesn't matter what you feel in your body. I don't feel strong. I don't feel like I have strong faith. Don't matter what you feel. But as long as you got the right combination, faith, 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 boom, faith, the safe's going to open. You're going to get your answer, going to get your miracle, believing. But be persistent too. Stand and stand some more, because don't just think the enemy's just going to sit back and say, bravo, Faith Family Maui, you're accelerating, you're moving into the things of God. I'll go down the street and bother these people, you know, and torment them and attack them. With the greater moves, the greater flows of God, there's going to be greater opposition. So what? So what? You know, we overcome. We've got all of the equipment God's given us. Jesus, he's already forewarned us. And know this, that he always gives us heads up before it happens. You know, faith is of the unseen world, but it's not unseen to God. It's unseen to us. If I ask Pastor Herman to go down to Walmart and get me some coffee creamer, and he says, okay, I'll bring you home your coffee creamer. What kind do you want? Well, I'm at home and I have a high expectation. My coffee creamer is on its way. I haven't seen it yet. He sees it in the store, but to me, it's unseen. It's invisible. I haven't seen it yet, but I have that assurance, that surety. It's on its way. And when he comes home, then it becomes visible to me, and I receive it. But yet, same thing with our faith. God sees the provision, sees the promises, sees all these things for us. It's visible for God, but it's invisible for us. So it's what we use our faith to use the right code of faith, the right code, access code, to reach in and receive these things that are invisible to us, but not to God. God sees healing. He has provision. He's created all of these things. They're seen in the kingdom of heaven. And so our matter is just getting them over to us. And again, where we drop the ball or miss it is, okay, like Mark said, I believe, I receive. Receive means taking it. Have you seen it yet? Has it manifested? No, it hasn't. God sees it. God says, yes, you got healing. You got provision. You have all of these things, all these promises in the Bible. And yet it's our faith that reaches in to the invisible world, the faith realm, and pulls those things, and just by our faith. And God manifests them. He brings them to us. We don't have to manifest. We can't manifest anything. Oh, you can manifest a bad attitude or a wrong, you know. But as far as manifesting the provisions and promises of God, only God can do that. He's the power plant. He's the power. Our job basically is, Mark told us in 11, is just believe, not half-heartedly. Faith's response to a miracle isn't, well, I hope so. If God will do it, do you think, you know, those are all negative responses. All, you know, why is it taking so long? Those are not the right responses for your miracle, for your faith. Faith responses. God said in 1 Corinthians, I'm not sure of the chapter, but all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. It's a yes for God as far as his promises and his provisions. God says yes, yes. It's not like, oh, I don't know, maybe yes for Lyle, but, you know, for Jaime. They're yes and amen. They're yes and amen. Not sometimes, not conditional. But where they don't come through and manifest for us, it's because we're not putting the right code, the right faith code. His promises, every one of them, every one, they cannot fail. The divine law of faith, it can't fail because it's divine. Man didn't originate it. It didn't start with man. It originated with God. So it can't fail. So if there's any failure, it's going to be on our part. And just simply, if your faith isn't working for you, go back, and the first thing is, go over your love walk. Go over, see if you're in offense, like Mark talks about. See if there's any offense, if you're offended with someone, you know. And or ask the Holy Spirit, say, I'm full of faith. I don't have no doubt. I've been, you know, got the right faith combination. But yet, you're mad at your spouse, or you're angry at so-and-so, or your boss passed you up on that promotion, and you won't speak to him. You're giving him the cold shoulder when you go to work, or just ignoring him. Yeah. That'll affect your faith and you getting your miracles and your answers. It will. So check your love walk too, just to make sure. Strife, offense, unforgiveness, they're all blockers, all of them, all blockers to the promises. To the promises of God, every one of them. So we say, I believe, I receive, or I believe and I take it now. And then it's God's job to manifest it. And when we say the right faith combination, boom, you have it already. You're believing for that house. And you're believing and claiming, and that's my house. Well, you haven't received it. You haven't gotten it yet. You haven't moved into it. But in the spiritual realm, God sees it, and he's already put the sold sign up for you. That's why nobody else can buy it. The house that we moved into, seven people had previously put in, it was in escrow seven times. And none of them were able to close on that house. Why? It was on reserve for us. The sold sign in the spiritual realm. The angels said, it's for them. It's for them. This one's not going to get it. That one's not going to get it because we had already put our faith out there. Took a couple years, but that house was on hold. Seven people, seven families in escrow. Boy, but house was never lived in. It was on reserve for us. And so faith receives and takes it, but yet still it's faith is of the invisible realm. We can't see it. But yet, you know, in Romans it says, we call those things that be not as though they already were. And to the world, that's foolishness. To the world, that's nonsense when you know, hear things like that. But that's faith talk. That's faith talk. And regarding any part of you, whether it's physical ailment, anything, it will work if you don't doubt it. If you don't doubt it. Gnawing pain, symptoms in your body, speak to those things in faith. Speak to them and don't doubt. Say the right combination and boom, when you have the faith combination, it'll work every time. Sometimes they're not instantaneous. Sometimes it's a progression. Sometimes it takes a while. But nevertheless, it's on its way. I called Pastor Herman for my coffee cream. It hasn't reached me yet, but it's on its way. He's coming home. He's got my coffee creamer. And then, no, there it is. I got it, you know. And so the same thing with faith. It's on its way. It'll reach us eventually if we don't give up and relax your hold of faith on these things. And then the last scripture is, what I wanted to say was that was in 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Yeah. One scripture I just wanted you real quickly to look at is an example of great faith. It's in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verse 26. Just going to pull out this one scripture text. A lot of you know the account. You can read it on your own. It's a wonderful, wonderful account of faith. Talks about Elisha and the Shunammite. Well, that's a tongue twister, isn't it? Shunammite. Yeah. They gave some wild names, didn't they, in those days to people, to men and to women. But anyways, what I wanted to highlight on was the woman was barren. They were up in their years. Her husband was old. Long story short, she got her miracle. She gave birth to her son. And then one day, you can read the things that led up to it. Son laid down on her lap and just strictly, simply just passed away, died. Just died. Her promise, her miracle from heaven, which she was believing for. So her son died, her only son. And then Elisha and then Gehazi they seen her, and she was on her way to them. And notice Gehazi asks her, he says, say, how you doing? How are things with you? How things were going with you? Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband, he asks? How about your child? Is it well with you? And if you're looking at 2 Kings 4:26, look at her response. Her son just died. Not the heart still ticking, not in ICU care, not on a life support system, not barely breathing, but dead, completely dead. And the servant of God says, so how goes it with you? How's your husband? Oh yeah, and your son, how's your son? And read what she says. All is well. Wow, all is well. To the natural person, they would have been like, oh, you know, coming unglued, I'm hard. Oh my God, get Elisha. You know, how can he die? My son's dead. You know, she wasn't coming apart. She wasn't panicking. She wasn't accusing God. You gave me a son and then you let him die. How can this be, Lord? You know, she goes, all is well. To me, that is extraordinary faith, faith. And if you read the entire account, you'll read that Elisha comes on the scene. Gehazi missed it. Couldn't get the job done, sorry. Gehazi just, yeah. He tried to raise up the boy, and it didn't work for him, so Elisha comes. And Elisha goes up in the room where the bed was laying, and he lays on top of the boy, and the Bible says eye to eye, nose to nose, and breathes into the boy. And then the boy starts sneezing, coughing, and he felt his body become warm again. Life came back into the son's body. And do you think maybe that might not have happened if when she was asked, how goes it with your family? How goes it with your husband? How's your son, by the way? And if she would have just murmured and complained and panicked and, oh, you know, and just told the whole story and just poured, got into an emotional, emotional display. I don't know if she would have had her miracle. But all is well. And that gives us something as a, I would say, a platform to use. No matter how bad, what you're going through. And, you know, the human nature is I got to tell somebody, especially when things are bad, you know, when you're going through something. Once you take it to prayer and take it to God, you don't need to tell anybody else. You don't have to call up your, you know, somebody in the church. You don't even have to call the church office or tell us. We'll agree with you. We'll come into agreement with you. But once you've taken it to God, let it rest there in God. And just make sure you've got your faith combination ready to go. You know, faith, 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 faith. Boom, my miracle. Faith. Don't mix it in because the promises and provisions of God, the miracles, will not open. They won't happen. Just make sure you got that right combination. And so no matter what comes your way, if you can say, all is well, the threat of losing your house, repo, the banks are sending you letters, you know, you've been served divorce papers, your children have left home, you know, and you find out that they're on drugs, and somebody sees you. How's honey girl? How's your son doing? All is well. All is well. But I'll tell you what, the human flesh, the carnal side of us wants to go, oh my God, pray for them. Oh, you know, geez, could you come in agreement and pray with them? Would you mind calling them if you see them? Would you, you know, and we get into all this and it really doesn't do our faith any good because it's all emotionalism. And you can't move the hand of God with emotionalism. You can only move the hand of God with our faith. So this is, to me, one of the most extraordinary examples in the Bible. Her son is dead, and she turns around and says, all is well, all is well. Yeah, such faith in that, such faith in that. And because of her faith, things were turned around, and her son was brought back to life. And that's an extraordinary miracle. It's extraordinary. And if you read the whole account, you can see, you know, Elisha and her, but also this woman honored the prophet of God. She's the one who made a little room. They renovated their house. So when the prophet came through town, he had a bed and he had a nice little comfy place to stay, where there was a lot of honor as well working in this woman's heart, in her household. So that came into play also regarding her miracle. She honored the prophet. And so next time you faced with something, and it's horrendous, it's hellacious, and all of you screaming on the inside, you know, and I know sometimes even with me, you know, you want to, share with your spouse or take it to God. And if somebody asks or whatever, just say, all is well. They don't need to know all the details. Once you've given it to God, He goes to work for you. He goes to work. You declare the word. The word says that when you proclaim the word of God, it goes forth out of our mouths on assignment, and it will not return to us void, but it'll accomplish that which it's sent to do. It'll accomplish it. The law of faith. You know what? Can everybody say this? The law of faith.
The law of faith.
The code of faith.
The code of faith.
Cannot.
Never will.
Impossible.
Impossible
to fail. Amen. Amen. Impossible to fail. So we all say, I believe it,
and I take it.
Amen. Amen. Have you received that? Did you learn anything as far as, you can never exhaust talking about faith. You know, never can, especially in this, where we're at right now, our church. Things are being accelerated. God has told us, you know, we're going to start experiencing miracles, supernatural things, supernatural provision. And don't let your head, don't let your mind and all of these things negate. And you know, it's, what's that scripture? Just a little bit of leaven, just destroy the whole lump. I remember one time my mom sent us apples, a whole bushel of apples, and one of the apples was rotten. And, you know, if you don't take that rotten apple out of, you know, four dozen of apples, that one lousy rotten apple, it'll infect all the others. And if you leave it unattended and don't remove it, guess what? You're going to have mush. You're going to have wormy, rotten apples. You know, the whole bunch will. Give it enough time and it'll infiltrate, you know. So the same thing with your faith. Weed out anything that will block or hinder the right faith code, the right combination from opening up the safe, which is the promises of God, the provisions, and your miracles. Remember what Oral Roberts said. He said that miracles are either coming to us or they're passing us right by. What's going to determine if they're going to stop with you? Does anybody know that answer? It's your faith. That's right. Yeah. Faith will go no further. Yep. Come here. My miracle's coming here to me. Yeah. Miracles are passing us or they're coming to us. And it's your faith that will believe them and receive them. No matter how impossible it looks, no matter how far that child is, no matter how far away they've stayed, the family member, how impossible it seems like. Seems like I've been in, you may say, in debt all my life. So what? The law, divine law, cannot fail if we use it the right way. So we're going to be seeing more miracles. We must see more miracles. We will have more miracles. Yeah, individually and corporately here, we will, because God says we will, we can have them, and faith says we can have them. We can have them. Amen, amen. Everybody just raise your hand and thank God. Father, thank you, Lord, for answers. Thank you for strong faith. Thank you, Father, for that faith that you said in Mark 11, that when we speak to that mountain, cast it into the sea, it will obey. It will obey us, Father. So we thank you, Father, that our faith has been re-energized, that our faith is not dormant, it's not dead, that our faith is alive and active and working well, Father. And so, Father, I thank you that each one hearing this message today will activate and put their faith to work and not be reluctant to step out into impossibilities, because you, Father, are the God of impossibilities. That's the realm that you work in. And what's hard for us is easy for you, Father. So, Father, we thank you for strong faith. Faith that works every time. Faith that hits the bullseye. Because when we stand and pray, Father, we believe and we put in the right code, the right faith code, and it'll work for us and bring the desired results every time. We thank you for this. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name. And everyone says,